Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So it's time for our Friday gathering. We're going to take a look back now at the big stories of the week, and I'm joined in the studio by David Cullinan, Sinn Féin TD for Waterford and party spokesperson on health. Jennifer Carroll McNeill is Fine Gael TD for Dunleary, and Colette Brown is barrister and columnist with the Irish Independent. You're all very welcome. So what we're hearing today, we started today with the Mail, the Daily Mail reporting that the recommendation from NPHET is that the country goes to level 5. Now it would appear that all political correspondents are saying that they're getting that information, that that's what the letter says, the letter to Stephen Donnelly. So what should the government response, maybe Jennifer will start with you, what should the government response be now?
Again, we go back to basics. We see the information coming from NPHET. I haven't seen that letter. It's teased out by a cabinet subcommittee and then it goes to a political decision. We need to go through that process. I don't know what the outcome of that is going to be, but we're hearing very clearly, including on your own show this morning, how worrying the numbers are, what a serious situation that we're in. It's getting, you know, to a point of really serious difficulty in terms of community transmission. Mm-hmm. At the same time, government has to make a decision about the whole of society. Going into level 5 has implications, social implications that go across the board, and it has it's a very serious decision to make.
I'm sure that the chief medical officer didn't say in that letter, "I told you so," but he could have done, because everything that he said almost two Sundays ago has come to pass.
We have a very good modelling team. We have excellent public health officials, but we also have to take advice and we have to make decisions that impact society as a whole. That is one of the most important piece feeding into the decisions that are made, but there's also a significant economic piece and a significant social piece. Going into lockdown means that our concerns in relation to domestic abuse, child abuse, people being locked down, loneliness, everything that we have experienced before, all come to pass again. And we need to know that we're able to deal with that, and we need to know that we have a way out of that and that people can see a way out of that.
Okay, well, David, can I talk to you about what the consequences might be if government again says we're not doing it, we're not going to level 5?
Well, I think first of all, we have to obviously listen to public health experts, and NPHET is there for a reason, to advise all of us, but chiefly to advise government. And I believe all options have to be on the table, Claire, because we're dealing here with a very real crisis. We have the highest recorded levels of contraction over the last number of days, 1,200 yesterday. Obviously, that's very concerning. It isn't just in the border counties. We can see it in Cork. We can see it in
Dublin. But I know you understand the balance that Jennifer Carroll McNeill has outlined.
Of course, we all understand the balance. And what I would say is that people understand it. We have to make sure that people are kept safe. We have to make sure that people are protected. And my quarrel with the government is the lack of supports and protections, because our message to government is, if we have to go to level 5, so be it. If that's the option on the table, if that's what we have to do to wrestle back control of the virus. But it can't be done if it means leaving workers high and dry. And we know that the pandemic unemployment payment was cut. It's due to be cut again at the end of January. We know protections for renters were pared back. So I believe we have to restore all of those cuts and make sure that families and workers and businesses are better protected and enabled to be able to pay bills, to pay the mortgages, to pay rent. And my fear would be that we would go to level 4 or level 5 with more restrictions, but families not be able to provide for their families.
Colette, will you come in there? Because that is the balance that needs to be struck. And in order, it would seem, for people to accept level 5, we do perhaps need to increase those supports, as David Cullinan has outlined.
Well, I don't know if the public are as averse to level 5 as the politicians seem to be, because if you look at opinion polling, people seem to want increased restrictions. People feel unsafe at the moment. They can hear the statistics coming from NPHET. They hear the statistics about the lack of ICU beds, about the lack of acute hospital bed capacity, and they wonder what it's going to be like in November. What's the situation like going to be in December? And there was a story today about Leo Varadkar addressing the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party last night and saying that, you know, he didn't know what the plan was after level 5. And I would say to the government, you know, what have you been doing for the past 7 months? I mean, the 5-level plan is your plan. This is supposed to be a reasoned way, a logical way, a kind of an easy to communicate way for us to go through these restrictions in order to tackle the coronavirus. But was it that it was never envisioned that we would be at level 5? Because obviously, if you do have a level 5 in the guidelines, then a level 5 has to be something that was contemplated at some point. When these guidelines were being devised, you know, was it ever raised, or did NPHET ever suggest that, you know, it could be the case that we'd be going from level 2 to level 5 or level 3 to level 5. And what would be the government's reaction in those circumstances?
We were told that it would be abhorrent almost to go from level 2 to level 5. And that was one of the main reasons why it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, but the problem now seems to be that if we don't shut down further now, that the cases are going to keep exponentially rising, that our hospitals are going to be completely overburdened, and that we'll be stuck in a level 5 for much longer than we would have been if we acted faster and more swiftly now. We saw what happened in the UK at the start of this crisis in March when they were slow to introduce restrictions, and we saw, you know, the death toll there and the damage to their economy, which was much greater than it was in other European countries. So I think people are worried now because there seems to be indecision in government. Nobody seems to be able to make the decision making process seems to be fractured in some way because people really don't know what they're doing. And I have sympathy for the government, I do, because other European countries are dealing with
the same problem. Okay, so Jennifer, you've been accused on both sides here, letting workers down here from David, and the government, which you're here to represent today, accused of indecision on the other side. So do you accept that people are worried because the decision-making process is fractured, as Colette says?
I think I totally accept that people are worried. I'm thinking about people at home in their kitchens listening to this show and just being weary with listening to COVID and weary with having to deal with it. And I totally understand that. We all are. I would say that the government's approach is nothing compared to the United Kingdom and has been stable and based on the information all the way along. We immediately put in support for workers with the pandemic unemployment payment, with the temporary wage subsidy scheme. We have now wound that down. 400,000 people have come off the pandemic unemployment payment, and we knew that we needed to extend it because the lifetime of COVID was getting longer than anybody had initially expected. We've extended that and provided a measure of sustainability. Sinn Féin talk about wanting certainty. Certainty can't be provided. So this is the most uncertain time that this country has been through, that the global economy, that the global society has been through for the last 50 years.
If you want buy-in from the public for the next phase, whatever that next phase is going to be, you're going to have to give people some sort of certainty, and that is the job of government.
Exactly, and what we've been trying to do is target those sectors that really need additional support: hospitality, the event industry, the people who have had their incomes cut overwhelmingly. There are still many people who are in employment and who are.
David, you've been accused of asking them to provide certainty for people when it's impossible to do that.
Well, first of all, when I talk about certainty, it isn't about how quickly we can wrestle back control of the virus. Obviously, we all have to do our best, and interventions have to be made and had to be made, and I accept that. The certainty is for workers and families, and it is a reality that people have to pay bills, Claire. They have to pay their mortgages, they have to pay rent, they have to put food on the table. And when those payments were pared back, the reason we were given was that we were moving out of restrictions. We're now back into restrictions again, and potentially at some point.
And what that means was we were enabled then to extend the lifetime of being able to apply for the pandemic unemployment payment until the end of this year, into next year, that we were able to extend the wage subsidy supports to businesses. This is going to take a lot longer, and we have taken the approach of sustainability and cash transfers on that basis.
But that doesn't mean anything for someone who has to put food on the table or pay their rent. And bear in mind, again, and this was put to the Minister for Finance, it's again planned to cut this at the end of January.
Well, the Minister
for Finance... Can Jennifer tell us if that's going to happen?
What the Minister for Finance said very directly in answer to that question on Tuesday was that he will make that decision at the time when he has the information at the time.
Can I just interject here? Because I asked him that question when he was here for the post-budget phone-in, and he said, yes, the pandemic unemployment payment is due to be reduced in January. Mm. He was very clear on it, which is not what Leo Varadkar said, by the way. He said that it's due to be looked at the end of January. So I don't know what's happening.
And I can tell you that they will make the decision. And as he said, we'll make the decision with the information that we have at that time, based on how the virus is going, based on what we're able to borrow, based on a sustainable model. The budget that was produced this week was based on, you know, a very, very grim premise: the no vaccine next year and a no deal Brexit. The government has taken a very realistic, very sober approach to the management of this virus, and we need to be able to continue to borrow.
That's the uncertainty.
We are going to have to, yes, but it is uncertain. How can we be certain about a vaccine? How can we be certain about Brexit? How can we be certain about our ability to borrow and keeping that within appropriate peer-reviewed limits? For the last 10 years, you would have burned all the people who are now trying to borrow money from. We are trying to do this in a sustainable and credible way to be able to manage manage our way out of this with creditworthiness and sustainability for everybody.
And the uncertainty I spoke about wasn't about the virus or wasn't about Brexit. All of those things obviously have to be looked at and is context. But again, we're hearing from yourself and we heard different views from the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and the Minister for Finance in relation to the pandemic unemployment. The certainty is people want to know what's going to happen in January. People want to know what's going to happen now. And irrespective of whether they cut it again at the end of January, it was already cut. We have more people who lost their jobs because of the added restrictions. And the point is clear, if we move up again to level 4, level 5, more people will lose their jobs, more businesses will close, more families will have to make tough decisions. And we don't have to live on that amount. We still get paid as TDs. Let's be honest, we still get our full salary. And we have to be mindful of families who are on much reduced incomes. The vast majority of people who are on the pandemic unemployment are people who are working, people who are earning above €600 a week and now have to pay all these bills. And bear in mind, they also pared back the supports for renters. So, for example, a stay on evictions, a stay on notice to quit.
All of that is having a deep impact. One point as well. Last week when Leo Varadkar appeared in your show, Claire, and he eviscerated the CMO and NPHET's advice, he said that the recommendation to move to level 5 at that point, he said it would we would be some kind of in the EU, we would be an outlier, that, you know, it was an untried and untested and experimental measure, essentially. Now we know that behind the scenes, the public health doctors in the UK were giving the UK government the same advice. We can see now that all over Europe, restrictions are being tightened. We know today that NPHET are telling the government that the situation is more dire now than they even thought when that recommendation was given to the government. So what is the government's plan to get us out of this? Because level 3 isn't some kind of panacea for business. Businesses are suffering, workers are suffering, incomes are down. We are not going to get the economy back running again unless we eliminate or substantially suppress this virus. And level 3, the government's plan at the moment, according to the experts, the public health experts, and according to all the figures that we can see published every single evening that everybody watches with such trepidation now every evening, it isn't working, the plan.
Right, but has level 3 been given long enough?
Well, it was given a substantial period of time in Dublin.
Yeah, and we saw that it stabilised in Dublin. Then it began
the
to
numbers
go
are still
again.
Going.
It began to stabilise in Dublin, which is what they did say twice in the COVID committee. You were there, Ronan Glynn said that, and we were hoping for it to continue, and then it didn't. Look, you look right across Europe, and everybody is having a slightly different experience. You look at the level of testing in Denmark, and yet the figures are through the roof. You're looking at capacity in the Netherlands, and hospital capacity in Spain and the Netherlands, which is about the same as ours, where they've hugely increased rates, and they're not closing everything down in the same way. These are balanced decisions that are going to change, and you can be accused of being too quick or too slow. Everybody is trying to make these decisions with the very best of information and the best of intentions at all times. And if anybody has an example from anywhere around the world that's comparable, that's relevant to Ireland, that has the same population distribution, all of the same factors, that is some kind of magic bullet for this in a sustainable way that sticks at week after week after week without any variables, without any changes, then give it to us.
Because
we'll do that, but nobody has it, and we're all trying to manage this right around the world together.
David.
I don't underestimate the scale of the challenge facing any government, and I would say as well, we all have a responsibility as individuals. I do, you do, everybody has to look to what we do ourselves, and I fully accept that. We all have our part to play, but equally governments have a part to play, and my quarrel with the government isn't so much whether we should be at level 3, 4 or 5. That's advice that NPHET will give. The government have to listen and they have to act, and I genuinely believe all options have to be on the table if it's the case. But this is the point I wanted to make. We wasted the summer months because what we needed to do was ramp up capacity in testing and tracing. If you talk to people on the front line in tracing, it's a system that's creaking under the pressure of not having enough staff. We had some of them on zero-hour contracts, which says it all.
Well, we were told that was a mistake, weren't we?
Well, even still, we don't have enough. And we were told, we had said to the government, and I had launched my proposals in the summer, that we needed to ratchet up capacity in ICU. At the press conference on Wednesday, Stephen Donnelly was saying that, well, it takes time to get more ICU capacity in, which it does. You need specialist staff. Why wasn't the planning done in the summer months? We wasted the summer months to ratchet up capacity in testing and tracing in ICU and acute beds. And now we're paying a price for it. And there were 7 hospitals yesterday with no ICU capacity.
Well, it goes back to what Les was saying earlier, that in March we were ahead of the game, particularly in comparison to the UK. Now it seems as though there might be a bit of a reversal there.
Yeah, I mean, but that's it's like at the start of this crisis, the government listened stringently and adhered rigidly to the public health advice, and that was seen to be the right thing to do at the time. Now there seems to be a divergence between the public health advice and what the government wants to do. But not only is there a divergence, there's a substantial divergence. So when the country was at level 2 and NPHET recommended level 5, the government would only increase it to level 3. Now, obviously, the government has to think about other considerations other than, you know, the narrow, I shouldn't say narrow focus of COVID, because it's all encompassing really at the moment. But there are other considerations, obviously, that the government has to bear in mind. But the problem is that nobody can kind of see a long term strategy at the moment. What people are looking at with the government's approach is a death by a thousand cuts. So we'll remain at level 3 for 3 weeks just because we're all kind of hoping it will work. But the public health doctors say actually
it won't. The strategy is very clear.
The rest of the country will join the border counties at level 4 maybe in a couple of weeks, and then we'll have to see whether that works or not. And then what if we're all at level 5 over Christmas? How is that going to go?
Well, look, it's worth letting you know now that the RTÉ newsroom is reporting that NPHET has recommended that the entire country moves to level 5 of COVID restrictions for 6 weeks. Government sources have confirmed details of the recommendations to RTÉ News. The advice is contained in a letter sent to the Health Minister last night. It's due to be discussed at a meeting between government officials and the Chief Medical Officer. I think that meeting was underway a little while ago, so those conversations will be happening. There is no cabinet meeting though due to happen today. I know the Taoiseach
is in
Brussels, but that may change.
Of course that may change on the basis of
that news.
Yeah, it may change because it's possible to put together a cabinet meeting, to have an incorporeal cabinet meeting as necessary. But what we need
the recommendation is for level 5 for 6 weeks. I'm not sure, I think I said something else, but it's for 6 weeks.
And now what needs to happen is that we all keep our heads, that we go through the process, that the senior official groups respond to that, tease it out with NPHET, and that there's a political decision when that political decision is ready. And I mean, there's no difficulty having a cabinet meeting on a Saturday morning, Sunday morning or anything else. It's certainly been done before if that's necessary. But we need to just react to that advice, tease it through, let the officials do that and let a political decision be made if that's what's appropriate.
Given that you've told us how aware you are of all of the economic and social impacts, 6 weeks is a long time at level 5 when you consider the impact that it will have on all of those things you mentioned earlier.
6 weeks is a huge length of time for all of those things. And that's, you know, in a sense, what the government has been hoping we wouldn't have to get to. And so, look, the most important thing is that I don't speculate on what might come out of cabinet or the public health decisions that might have to be made. But there really are massive implications for individual people's lives going to level 5. And the strategy has been, you know, Colette said there was no strategy. The strategy in the first instance was to try to suppress the virus and then open up as much as we possibly could in a way that was going to be safe. We've seen the resurgence of the virus. We now have to close down. We always anticipated that this would be open and close, to try to keep things as open as possibly could be, as safely as could be. We're now at a point potentially where we have to pull that.
I'm open to correction on this, but didn't NPHET last week, when the recommendation was level 5, wasn't it a recommendation for 4 weeks?
Yes.
Level 5.
Yeah.
And now we see, you know, just a little over a week later, what's the recommendation? 6 weeks. So this, like the decisions the government are making could ultimately harm the economy, and what they're trying to do is to protect it, and that's just one indication.
The World Health Organization made it very clear that lockdowns and restrictions in part are about trying to wrestle back control of a virus. That's part of it, but it's also a breathing space and an opportunity for the government then to get other things right, to ratchet up capacity. So that's the point I was making when we wasted the summer. And again, the last couple of weeks, if you look at the level 4 restrictions in Dublin, what additional capacity from then until now was put into hospitals, what reversals of protections for workers that were cut were reversed? None. So we have to make sure, if it is the case, that we move. No, just let me finish.
Sure.
If it is the case, because and I hear what Jennifer is saying, she understands that this will have an impact on individuals. It will, but it will impact on them, on their ability to provide for their families. And I would appeal to the government and implore them, if it is the case that we have to move to level 4 or level 5, and whatever they do in terms of acting on the advice, make sure that workers are protected, make sure businesses are protected, and use the opportunity to ratchet up capacity in testing and tracing and in ICU capacity.
But we have put those supports in place with the wage subsidy scheme, with the PUP. I know you don't like that it was cut by 50 euros. We're trying to make this sustainable in the long term so that that support can be there for people over time. We've then put in incredibly targeted supports for businesses that have been more impacted than others. Businesses in a face-to-face context. Other businesses are much less impacted, and people are getting their salaries in, you know, where it's not face-to-face and you have the capacity to work from home. We need to provide provide a measure of, not a certainty is not the right word, but a measure of confidence, a measure of hope that there is going to be a functioning economy next year, to try to encourage people who have saved an extraordinary amount of money, who those people who have had incomes, to try to get them to spend it in the places within our domestic economy to support the businesses that really, really need it. Those are the sorts of long-term structural changes that we've made for business. In relation to ICU capacity, you've had a 4 billion euro announcement this week. You cannot just click your fingers and make ICU beds appear. And you know, but you put out a video last week, David, saying that you were going to have 100 new beds. Mm. And then you were asked, where are you going to be? And you said, I'll ask the HSE to do it faster. It's just not serious enough.
Yeah,
it's just not serious enough.
But, no, but
it's not a solution. Sorry, it's not a solution.
A second here.
20 to 40% of people that go into ICU with COVID are not going to come out. This narrative that if only you had ICU capacity, that is not a solution. We do not want people to get it in the first place.
But it is quite easy though, David, to say, well, I'd, you know, make sure there were more beds and I'd increase the PUP. Those decisions are very hard when your hand is on the tiller.
But hang on a second here. In terms of ICU capacity, the question I was asked is, if I was health minister today, what would I do? The starting point is where we're at. That's the point. So my point to Jennifer and government is, in 2009, we had more ICU beds than we had today. There has been three different bed capacity review reports which said we need 580 ICU beds by the end of 2020 this year. We only have 280. And then the government wasted the summer months, which again, you're reinforcing the point I made. Why wasn't the planning done in the summer? I produced a plan at the end of July. And again, I was on the plinth in Leinster House and I was speaking to journalists and I said, if we don't make the decisions today, right now, and the week after and the week after, what will happen is the government will come along in September or October in the middle of a second wave, in the middle of the winter, and then start planning and then tell us this takes time. They should have been doing the planning in the summer. And then to put it back on the opposition, if I was the Minister for Health tomorrow...
So you're saying you predicted this situation.
Of course.
You stood there
we
in
didn't
July
just predict
and he said,
it.
You're failing
Health
to
professionals
plan.
Predicted it. People who are working on the front line. Listen to hospital consultants in Cork who've been out saying that they had no ICU capacity for a couple of days. I know in my own region in University Hospital Waterford, it's the regional hospital. It provides services for the hospitals in Tipperary, in Kilkenny and in Wexford. And patients were being transferred from those hospitals into Waterford because the capacity wasn't there in terms of ICU. We ended up again with no capacity in the entire region. This has been forecasted, not by me, yes by me, but by healthcare professionals, by consultants who've been screaming at the government to do it during the summer months and long before that,
well,
decade
let's get a response,
of lack
Jennifer,
of investment
from you
from the
on
government.
That specific point that the summer was wasted.
I don't believe the summer was wasted. People have been working all the way through the summer to try to build up capacity, to build up temporary beds, to put a plan in relation to
we
permanent
beds. We
were
caught on the hop. That's what Eamon Ryan said when the cases started going up again. We were caught on the hop.
They have been working all summer long to do that. I'll just finish my point in relation to building up capacity. We have also, at the initial stages, we had 160 people at ICU at its peak. We had capacity for 360, and that was before we ever went near the private hospitals. There is no health system in the world that can cope with the level that this can get to, and we are trying our best to manage community transmission because that is the real cause of this. We don't want people getting the virus. We don't want them going into hospital. We certainly don't want them going into ICU, and that is not a line of defence. The line of defence is hand washing. It is social distance. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Talk about testing and tracing. All of the occupational therapists, the audiologists who are being used for test and trace. Now, that surely shouldn't be happening because there are children and adults who need those people doing the jobs that they should be doing.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So they were trying to hire 500 new contact tracers. I know because my stepdaughter got a job doing it herself. She was interviewed 1 week. She has her contract the next week. There was 65 new ones started last week. There was 70 started the week before that.
And that only started in the last couple of weeks, Jennifer, in fairness. And before
that,
they didn't have a permanent staff hired.
I spoke to Stephen Donnelly yesterday. And I was looking for a briefing on what was in the budget because we were promised 16,000 additional staff in the health service. And I asked him directly, how many testers and how many tracers have been employed since you produced your plan where you said 1,200 additional staff would be employed? He wasn't able to answer the question. He said he'd go off and have a look. And I would say very, very little has been done because there's no evidence of it. And again, you have to talk to people who are operating at the front line.
How do you
line.
Know now that very little has been done? I mean,
because
what evidence do you have for saying
because
that?
Because if you talk to people who work in the system, they're saying that they haven't seen any additional staff. It hasn't come on stream. What we were
I'm
promised in the roadmap
family.
Was 700 additional tracers and 500 testers. And if it is the case that all of these people have been hired, the government will be out telling us that and looking for the
I'm
credit
telling
for
you.
It.
Well, there was a public health doctor in Cork who was reported in the Irish Examiner last week as saying that the system was almost was near was about to crumble given the pressure they were under. And they didn't have the resources to track and trace the cases in the way that they would like to. I mean, that's from somebody who's working at the front line. That's not my opinion. That's her opinion.
Okay. And yet we have youth unemployment at 36%.
This is exactly what I'm saying. Well, so
a lot of those people would be delighted to get a job.
Exactly, and have been delighted to get a job. And I know some of them personally, even in my own family, went out, no other job available, went out, got a job as a tracer, is starting very shortly. So it is happening.
Okay, we're just about at the end there. Thank you very much for coming in. I did want to talk about you both getting told off for not socially distancing and not wearing masks.
Don't forget Colette. I
was wearing a mask, by the way.
Wearing a mask. Were you wearing a mask when you were?
Indeed. Well, yeah.
David is
so,
very
anyway.
Good at wearing masks.
Okay. But we do know that both TDs and senators and people in the forecourts were told off. But I accept that you were wearing a mask. Thank you all very much indeed for coming in.